This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Colossians. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in Colossians chapter 3 as he continues his message, Turning Work into Worship.
Perhaps you have difficulty attaching significance to what you do. Oh, my work carries no significance. It carries no weight. All I do is shuffle papers or drive nails or clean dishes. You figure, hey, if I don't show up tomorrow, what's it matter? It's no big deal. The world's going to go on without me. The American economy will somehow survive if I don't show up tomorrow. I understand how you feel. Every job has its moments of despair. But what makes your work important is not what you do, but it's who you serve. Verse 24 says emphatically, for you serve the Lord Christ. Your boss is not the foreman who thinks he's cool. Your real boss is none other than Jesus Christ. And whatever you do, you need to do it not as unto men, but as to the Lord. Paul is saying that when your supervisor gives you a task, you need to undertake it with the same enthusiasm and same energy as if it were the Lord's direct command. Of course, this doesn't mean that you should do anything that's immoral or unbiblical. When the boss's command conflicts with God's command, you need to be obedient to God. Nor does this mean that a worker has no rights in the workplace. There's nothing wrong with filing a legitimate grievance when you're treated unjustly. Nor does this mean that you're locked into some penny-paying, dead-end, frustration-filled job for the rest of your life just because your boss says he can't live without you. But what this does mean is that whatever job God has given you at the time, while you're there, you need to perform it as if you're doing it directly for Him. Will the Lord Jesus be pleased with the project I'm presenting in the morning? Does it truly represent my best effort? Would I take greater pains on the house that I'm building or that I'm remodeling? Or would I avoid the shortcuts that I've planned if I was constructing it for Jesus Himself to live in? I'm sure we would be much more careful and conscientious and consistent and even more cheerful in our work if we saw our boss not as the guy who signs our paycheck, but as the Lord who reigns in heaven. Three stonemasons were working on a cathedral, a grand cathedral. Each man was asked, what was he doing? Well, the first worker responded, I'm laying bricks. The second fellow says, well, I'm toiling for a living. But the third worker, he looked up to heaven and he replied, I'm building a place where people can worship God. And guess which of the three laborers saw the bigger picture? Guess which of them got it right? The third one understood his job's real relevance. If all that matters, if all that motivates you is a paycheck, you've missed the point. Your job is a showcase where you can display your devotion to God in a practical way for all to see. In whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. As I said earlier, one of the marks of genuine spiritual maturity is the ability to turn a wearisome act into an act of worship. Can you transform the boring into adoring? The petty into praise? Can you transform hard work into hosanna? We've been taught that by lifting our hands and by bowing our knees, these are acts of worship. But did you know that by adding the right attitude to the task, you can transform filling out a report or sweeping a warehouse or stocking shelves into worship to God? We get up on Sunday morning and we go to church to worship. But God wants us to get up on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, and go to work to worship. The great reformer Martin Luther once stated, a dairy maid can milk cows to the glory of God. A 17th century monk, a humble, simple man, his name was Brother Lawrence. He wrote a famous book. I got it in my library. It's a really good read. It's entitled, The Practice of the Presence of God. And in it he writes, our sanctification does not depend upon changing our work, but doing that for God's sake, which we commonly do for our own. time of business does not differ from the time of prayer. It's by recalling who it is we work for that we can cultivate a constant awareness of God's presence. Let me say it again. Adore the Lord as you do the chore. When you know who you work for, it affects how you work. For in verses 22 and 23, they tell us, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Paul says we need to work heartily as to the Lord. Hey, if we're working to bring glory to Jesus, we'll do our job with integrity and with vigor and with loyalty. We'll seek to serve the interests of the company with no hidden agendas. If your job is to represent your company, it's wrong for you to go behind its back and funnel business into side jobs for yourself. You're stealing from your employer. If you see clients with the intention of later opening up your own business, that's being dishonest. Are you pilfering pads and pencils, even furniture and computers? Do you take little perks that aren't really given? Are you padding your expense account with personal purchases? Are you being honest with your employer? God expects us to serve our company with sincerity of heart. Don't try to justify a lack of integrity with the attitude, oh, well, they don't pay me enough around here. They owe me. As a Christian in the workplace, our concern needs to be our employer's concern. Our priority is his priority. Many an employer has discovered that after the fact that a man he hired, or a woman he trusted, was stabbing him in the back. Employee sabotage is a real problem. Reminds me of the cook who was a Christian. This young man was a devout Christian. He worked on a U.S. Navy vessel. The sailors always were playing pranks on him, though. He got upset. One day, they snuck into his stateroom, into his cabin. They put Vaseline on the toilet seat. When he came out of the bathroom, they roared with laughter. He took it all in stride and simply praised the Lord. On another occasion, they rigged a kitchen door so that when he opened it, a bucket of water dumped over and soaked him completely. Again, he shrugged it off. Praise the Lord. Well, after several other stunts and the same response, this young boy caused the soldiers to get convicted. One day they came to him and they apologized. They said, oh, we're so sorry we've been doing this to you. We're going to stop. We'll never do it again. But we've just got to know, how did you maintain your composure through all of these terrible pranks that we did to you? Well, before the cook answered, he wanted to make sure they were serious about their apology. He said, no more Vaseline on the toilet seat? Oh, no more. No more water on my head? No more water. That's when he said, okay, no more spitting in your soup. The point of the story is that it's possible for a person to hustle and on the outside do a good job, yet in their heart of hearts be working with the wrong motivation. How many of us have harbored a grudge against the boss? We're working hard to show him up or to prove a point, but we're working with a sour attitude. Are we drawing a paycheck, yet still spitting in the soup? Hey, if you were just working for the company, perhaps your attitude would be justified. But don't forget, never forget, you're working for the God in heaven. Paul tells us we're to serve the Lord with sincerity of heart, fearing God. And this is why we're told to serve not with eye service as men pleasers. Don't just work when the boss is around and then slack off when he leaves the area. We've all seen men pleasers in action, haven't we? They work furiously at their terminal when the supervisor's in the room. But the moment he walks away, they go right back to their coffee or their chit-chat or their conversation. There are some workers who specialize in eye service. They work to be watched. They serve only to be seen. They need an audience to do their job. When I played football and we were being punished with a few push-ups, I have to admit, I'd do them one way when the coach was watching. You know, my back straight as a board, my arms moving with the count, nose touching the grass. But as soon as that coach turned his head, my stomach drooped. My arms barely bent. I was missing every other beat. I was a man pleaser, functioning with eye service. You know, some people go to work with one goal, and that's to see how little they can do and still impress the boss. For the Christian, there's only one problem with that kind of attitude. Your boss is always watching. It reminds me of the company that posted a memo on the office bulletin board. It read, "To all employees, due to increased competition and a desire to stay in business, we find it necessary to institute a new policy. We're asking that somewhere between starting and quitting time, and without infringing too much on the time usually devoted to lunch periods, coffee breaks, rest periods, storytelling, ticket selling, vacation planning, and the rehashing of yesterday's TV programs, that each employee endeavor to find some time that can be set aside and known as the work break." What a novel idea. A work break. I've read where the average American employee only works to 20 to 30% of their capacity and of their ability. 20 to 30%. That being true, what an opportunity for those of us who are Christians to stand out and to be a witness for our Lord Jesus. What if we put 100% of our effort into our work? If we did business tomorrow in such a way that God's light shined through our labor? What if we did our job heartily or literally from our heart? Did you hear of the college graduate? He was asked if he was looking for work. He answered, "Not necessarily, but I would like a job." And that's the problem, isn't it? When I first became a Christian, I immediately tried to witness to my coworkers. I was on fire for Jesus. A few of them nodded politely at my witness and just ignored what I had to say, because I had not been a very good worker. But one fellow, a guy named Dave, I'll never forget him. Dave was not so polite. When I told him I'd become a Christian, he literally doubled over in laughter. "You, a Christian?" He pointed out how I was always late getting to work and how I took 30 minutes from my supposed 15-minute coffee breaks and how I didn't do my share of the job. Dave called me a hypocrite, snickered at me, shook his head, and walked off. Needless to say, the Holy Spirit used Dave to get my attention. His words woke me up to the poor employee that I'd been. And from that day onward, I went to work to straighten out those work habits and to develop the right attitude. My goal was to change Dave's opinion of me, to earn his respect so that I could share with him the gospel. If your coworker's only exposure to the power and joy of Jesus is how it motivates you in your work, what impression have you left upon him or her? Will they see Christianity as an impotent, hollow, Sunday-only religion, or will they see it as a vital dynamic that reaches into every facet of human life, including our work? Here's another announcement found on a company's bulletin board. "We regret that it has come to our attention that workers dying on the job are failing to fall down. This practice must stop, as it's impossible to distinguish between death and the natural movement of the staff. Any employee found dead in an upright position will be dropped from the payroll." Hey, we work to the Lord, or we work as to the Lord when we perform our tasks heartily. That means with zeal, with zest, with enthusiasm. I once knew a guy who did a great job, but he had such a sorry attitude. I mean, you'd think he hated every second of his job. He was such a grouch. You were tempted to want to pull him aside and ask him if you could help get the rock out of his shoe, you know? If you want to be a witness for Jesus, if you want to be a witness at work, put a friendly smile on your face. Make some cordial comments. It's refreshing to find genuine kindness in the dog-eat-dog world of business. I've heard it said, God puts work into our lives. Let's put God's life into our work. Be kind and gracious on the job, and you'll stand out, trust me. Folks will definitely notice. You know, in World War II, American Marines in the South Pacific, they developed the expression, gung-ho. We use it today to describe a person with zeal, with some real get up and go. The word gung-ho is the Chinese word for work. Actually, gung is the Chinese word for work. Ho means harmony. Put them together, it's to work in harmony. We Christians should bring a little gung-ho to our jobs. Let's do our job happily and harmoniously. Well, we need to know for whom we work. We need to know how to work. And then thirdly, we need to know why we work. For Paul tells us in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Always remember, your earthly boss might sign your paycheck, but your ultimate reward is from the Lord. You know, my heart breaks when I hear someone make the statement, you know, that salesman, he's supposed to be a Christian, but. You know, that mechanic, he calls himself a Christian mechanic, but. Oh, they say they run a Christian company, but when we've done business with them, you know, a lot of people flaunt the fact they're Christian in order to draw in business. But they don't realize that that designation holds them to a higher standard. Say you're a Christian company, and we should expect more from you, not less. In the second century, one of the early church fathers, Justin Martyr, he penned a description of his fellow Christians. He said, many who have come in contact with us were changed from violent characters, either from having watched the constancy of their Christian neighbors or from doing business with Christians. What a testimony. Sinners converted and drawn to Jesus, not by preaching, but by how we take care of business. Imagine customers and vendors and managers coming to Jesus by the conduct of Christians in the marketplace. I've talked to a lot of Christian businessmen over the years, and some have been quick to remind me, Pastor Sandy, yes, we attempt to run business, our business, according to biblical principles, but you got to know, you got to remember, don't forget, the main point of business is to make money. And what I'm trying to say to you is that that is a wrong assumption. That is not true. 10,000 years from now, you're going to look back and you're going to realize that the real reason for your business was not to make money. The reason you went to work every day and your company existed, in fact, had nothing to do with money. The point of your business was to be an influence for Jesus. God wanted you to be a workplace witness. In the process, you may have made some money. It was a blessing to you and it was a blessing to others. But making money was not the point at all. The real reward for your labor was the Lord's eternal approval of your faithful witness. Now, up until now, I've been speaking to employees. But let's not forget what's said to employees is also applicable to employers. For if you run a business, if you supervise workers, you also need to remember the who and the how and the why. For whom do you work? How do you carry out your business? And ultimately, why do you do what you do? For Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 speaks to the bosses, masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. If you're a boss, remember you've got a boss. Every boss on earth has a boss in heaven. Nobody truly works for themselves. Even the CEO, even the owner of the thing has God as their boss. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, a similar passage dealing with work and instructs employers to give up threatening. In other words, the boss shouldn't be bossy. Don't intimidate or manipulate your employees. Motivate them with love and appreciation. Be a servant to the servants. Recall, you have a boss. And while he was on earth, he became a servant. Don't expect your employees to do more than you would be willing to do yourself. Serve your employees with sincerity. Treat them with integrity. Care for them heartily. Instill in them the belief that they're not just working for you, they're working with you. You know, it's been said, better to have 3 men working with you than 12 men working for you. A boss can create that kind of atmosphere if he honestly serves his servants. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair. You know, today experts in the corporate world are recognizing that what the Bible has taught us all along is actually true in today's marketplace. What has always been biblical is also successful. Biblical principles make for good business practices. Companies that are people-oriented, that share profits with employees, that genuinely care for their workers' welfare, are the most successful companies. The story is told of an 11th century king who ruled over Germany. His name was Henry III. King Henry was a devout Christian who had grown tired of life in the palace. In fact, he wanted to enroll in a local monastery and serve God for the rest of his life in prayer and quiet meditation. Well, when King Henry met with the superior of the monastery, the priest asked him, he said, "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? And that will be hard for you since you've always been a king." But King Henry replied, he said, "I understand. And for the rest of my days, I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." A wise old priest responded to him, said, "Then I will tell you what to do. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has placed you." You see, often when a young man gets fired up for Jesus, he thinks he needs to turn his back on his former pursuits and become a pastor. Happens all the time. But I'm not so sure. When God called me to be a pastor, I fought it. Not because I wasn't willing to follow the Lord. I just figured the last thing the world needed was another pastor. We got plenty of those guys. The great need today is for Christian nurses, Christian businessmen, and Christian accountants, and Christian carpenters, and Christian programmers, and Christian policemen, etc., etc., etc. People who will take the gospel into the workplace. Since becoming a pastor, I now realize how limited pastors are in reaching folks on a personal level. When someone finds out I'm a pastor, they tend to clam up. They stop talking honestly. They don't relate to a pastor. This is why the people who win the mechanics to Christ are the Christian mechanics who let their light shine. The people winning the architects to Christ are the Christian architects who are living out their faith. Without a doubt, the most pressing need today is for Christians to do their work as to the Lord. We attract attention through the excellence of our work, and then we use that platform to lead thirsty hearts to the living water. God's plan is to use everyday work to introduce folks to the eternal life that's in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Old Johnny Paycheck, he's no longer with us. But what if someone came out with a new song? "Take this job and love it. I'm now working for the Lord." I hope it'd be a hit. You can love your job if you learn to turn your work into worship.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, There's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.